worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time featuring Crisco.
Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions you don't want answers to.
Ian Hunter.
We'll always have the night that he went out.
Mickey.
No, I'm lazy. I am so lazy.
And Lazy E.
Hey, it's not called cheap. It's called thrifty.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
I have been told that I need to do something different, so peanuts. Welcome to a freak accident. I am Crisco. I am your host. Don't ask questions. I'm just responding to feedback that I've been given.
Don't point at me.
I'm doing it. I'm doing the different thing.
Is there an elephant in the room?
Yes.
Okay.
Called murderer. Welcome again to the show. The website is afreakaccident.com. Email us about absolutely anything. We'd love to hear from you. Freaks at afreakaccident.com. And while you are at our website, you can click connect on the menu bar. Look us up on social media if you want to connect with the show on a deeper level. We'd love to get to know you a little bit, interact with you a little bit, hear what you have to say. Stop making vulgar gestures. They can't see that, but I can, and it's very distracting, sir. Anyway, welcome to the show, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and leave us a good review. A lot of good reviews coming in, and we're happy to see that so many people are enjoying the show. We got a great one lined up for you today, and I'm happy to be joined by the round table, which includes Lazy E.
I gotta say, that line you said in the beginning with peanuts, not the weirdest thing I heard today. In fact, the weirdest thing I heard today might have been the most idiotic thing I've heard today.
I'm sure it is. And my thing was pretty idiotic, so that's saying a lot for whoever that person is.
I'll tell you about it in a little bit.
Also, Ian Hunter here with us.
You do realize this table is square, not round, right?
Don't care. Mickey!
Wow.
He took my bit on the table.
Oh, see, he stole it right out from under you.
I'm the one with the jokes this week.
There's only one way to settle this, and that's a duel at 30 bases. Let's go outside and make sure this happens. We'll film it. We'll put it online. I'm sure people will love watching one of you die.
Whoa, Mickey just gave him a stare when you said that. Like, oh yeah, this is happening.
It's gonna happen. I've been training my entire life for this moment.
I don't know. I like my chances.
All I was thinking about was the donuts.
The donuts from last week.
Oh.
Yes. Go back to podcast.freakaccident.com. You can hear that episode there.
Plug.
Are we going to sprint while eating donuts? Is that how we're going to settle this?
Sure.
All right. Still like my chances.
While she's shooting at you with her revolver.
Yeah, how do you like your donut? Bam, bam.
We got a great show lined up today, though, man. I am excited about this one. A lot to look forward to, including later on in this episode, we're going to have another guest.
All right, stop.
You heard him a couple weeks ago on the show with his cover of, well, this song, Ice Ice Baby. Marty Ray of the Marty Ray Project going to be talking to us a little bit later on this episode. This is one interesting guy, so you're going to want to stick around and hear that one. Plus, we got a news update coming your way, a lot of news stories to get to. We got another edition of one of America's favorite game shows, Yes or BS. And we've got a review of Deadpool, a new trailer for Batman vs. Superman, and also wrestling talk, because we are on the road to WrestleMania. And the show starts here with apparently the dumbest thing Lazy E's heard in quite some time.
And it makes you question society a lot.
So, no, I'm probably just going to question this one person.
I thought I made you do that.
Good point. So, me and Crisco, we share an office.
I'd like to point out, okay, I have heard this already. Mickey, this gives you a run for your money.
Uh-oh.
That's really saying something.
Buckle up, folks.
So me and Crisco share an office. Ian, you could probably guess, there's somebody in that office that's a little not in my office, kind of there.
No.
Okay.
No, I gotcha.
So this lady...
is there more often than she needs to be, but let's just continue.
This lady was walking outside.
Ian's excited.
She's walking outside when our good old boy Brent is going home. So he walks down there with her, and I'm like, well, good luck to him. And
he'll be stuck talking for at least 20 minutes.
All of a sudden, I get a call. I'm like, oh God, the station's off the air. What's happening? What could have went wrong between this place and down the stairs? He goes, "Hey, Lazy E." The lady followed me out, and she told me that the snow doesn't look real to her. It doesn't. No, that's not the weird part. Wait, Ian. She goes, "It doesn't look real." And that's probably because the government is making this happen. Now, I'm going to say this because it bears repeating.
Damn it, George Bush and your weather control device.
Hang on. I'm going to say it because, again, it bears repeating. The snow is coming down because the government made it. Mickey, your thoughts.
Because listen, you need to understand, person listening, historically, even on like older shows that we've done before a freak accident, Mickey has a track record of having some pretty interesting conspiracy theory type ideas from here and there. But, I mean, this gives your whole El Chapo's making money off of the sale of marijuana because taxes.
This so, just made my IQ drop is what just happened. Yeah.
So do you subscribe to her theory?
Nope.
The snow is, it doesn't look real. The government's making snow.
I wish I was there to hear it.
Well, you know, obviously it comes from the freaking chemtrails that, like, the planes leave in the sky, man.
Well, what is our president now, Saint Nick?
Oh, the snow's coming. Oh, what is it going to do? Make us slide a little bit. Ooh.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Oh, my God.
You work with that.
I know.
This particular individual has a lot of unique viewpoints on things such as that. Because she said some crazy stuff before.
She is truther to the umpth degree. She is every possible conspiracy theory you could think of.
She believes that the government did 9/11, too,
she
right?
believes every one of them.
She's kind of person, when she looks at the internet, she goes, "It must be true."
Yeah. Basically. Okay. Basically. Yeah. That's genius. She thinks the government controls the weather. That is that is brilliant. And I'll tell you what, I understand her now, I think, on a deeper level. A lot of things make more sense.
It was actually done by a secret government group called the ISIS, but it's spelled I-C-E-S, the ISIS.
This person does realize it really hasn't snowed all that much this year. It does snow in the mountains of Pennsylvania.
Because it's a slow attack.
It's a long con, isn't
it? It's a guerrilla war, man.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't look... What constitutes real snow? That's my question. Like, when is snow, to your perception, real? And when is it not real? This doesn't look like real snow.
You know what I would love?
Pull out your chemistry kit and tell me what it's made of.
I would love if our listeners would email us with the weirdest conspiracy theories they've ever heard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Freaks@afreakaccident.com. Because that is just hours of entertainment.
You know, I have seen fake snow. I was in downtown Pittsburgh whenever they were filming Dark Knight Rises, and they did the snow scene. I was there whenever the snow was still in downtown Pittsburgh. That was fake snow. It was close, but it was fake. The stuff outside right now, believe it or not, is real.
This is real. Because they're making the weather.
Oh, that's right.
That's why. This is totally... Don't come up with your idiotic ideas.
I know, because I once saw the government's weather kitchens. I know the ingredients of the snow. Because I was a snowflake.
I can't quite get over this.
I was a souffle chef in the White House. I found the ingredient books.
Hashtag Jesse Ventura.
That's my really terrible Jesse Ventura impression.
I'm stuck on weather kitchens.
I'm stuck on government-made snow.
I'm stuck in that office with her.
This is true. You have it worse than anyone.
All day. Why do you think he sits there with his headphones on all day? It's not that he doesn't want to talk to us. He's trying to, you know.
He always has that look on, too, like the don't talk to me look.
Yeah.
Because I'm just staring at the computer. I can't trust although when she comes walking through, it's like, ka-dum, 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 ka-dum.
Yeah, no, you can feel, dude, I don't understand how, I've never met anybody as heavy-footed either. Like, it's like a herd of buffalo coming by every time she walks down the hallway. The one day, I was actually sitting in the studio on the air, and I had the music turned down because I was trying to listen to something playing off of the computer, and I hear this banging, and I'm like, who is hammering? Like, who is, like, building something and hammering something in this building so loudly? And I opened the door to try and find it, and it was just her walking down the hall because she actually stomps when she walks. It's like drops all of her weight right into the heel of her foot. How are her knees not blown out by now?
That's why I keep a glass of water near my desk when I start.
It's like the freaking T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
I'm like, uh-oh, it's time to move.
All of a sudden, he's Jeff Goldblum. He's like, you know what that is? That's an impact tremor is what that is.
Yeah. Oh. Chris Pratt walks by with his Velociraptors.
I'm fairly alarmed here. Genius. Genius.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, man. I kind of want to coax.
How do we come back from this?
I want to coax her on now and see what else she believes.
Nope.
Because I want to ask questions moving forward.
Nope. Because
from
I'm stuck
what
with
you
it.
Have explained to me, I would not push any buttons.
I would. Do it.
No. I'm going to be stuck with it all day.
I wonder if she believes the Earth is flat, too. You know, like B.O.B.
Oh,
did.
Yeah. Just don't. Let's do it. Come on.
Don't.
You can suck it up for a
the
little
sun,
while.
The sun isn't real. It's a hologram.
No.
We're actually orbiting a black hole, and any day now it's going to suck us
we'll
into it.
We'll just do a little one. Like, no. Ask her what she feels about Area 51 and aliens. Boom.
What are we talking about first?
I already said what's on
just,
the show.
Just tell them what's next. Just get out of this.
That is the interesting question. How do we come back from this one?
You're the one who brought up the story.
I didn't think it was going to turn into screw Lazy E's life.
By the way, I do know how to come out of this. Switching gears, big thanks to NEPA Scene for picking up our podcast.
Oh, yeah, that was really awesome.
Now, granted, a lot of people throughout this nation and this world, because it turns out we have quite a varied audience. I know California, a lot of downloads there, second most popular state that listens to us anyway, followed by Ohio, Texas. Yeah, we're all over the place, man. So I know to you fine folks, it means nothing. But to us, NEPA Scene is like an arts and entertainment website in our region of Pennsylvania here that promotes, you know, the arts and entertainment. And we may not be artistic, but we try to be entertaining. So, you know, they kind of had no choice but to give us a little bit of a spotlight anyway.
How do they feel about government-created snow?
Don't!
I don't know. Maybe Rich will reach out and let us know what he thinks.
We're
but
back.
Thanks to them, we're now syndicated on them. So if you're in the northeast region of Pennsylvania, you can now find us in a couple different places. So how about that? The freak accident audience grows by the day.
One by one.
One by one. World domination is in sight. And then we'll make the snow.
But first, we'll make everyone happy by celebrating Black History Month.
Oh, yes, yes. Black History Month on a freak accident. It's always a joyous occasion because we take time to look at characters who have always been African American since day one. This wasn't like a rewrite or a reboot. You've always been around, and there are plenty of those awesome characters out there, and we like to spotlight them.
Let's do it.
February is the month we all celebrate Black History Month, and we're not one to ignore this. We want to celebrate those characters who were and always will be African American. That's why A Freak Accident proudly presents you with Historically Black, Steve Urkel. Back in the 90s, families mattered on Friday night. The lovable Winslows entered our hearts to show that values can be taught every time stock sentimental music is played. But these values were usually taught after a problem was caused by one, Steve Urkel. Whether it was hitting on the Winslow's daughter or causing Carl to almost have a mild heart attack, Steve was usually at the center of all controversy. So, how did the nation react to this menace to society? With love, of course. Urkel showed that even though you're a nerd that screws up everything you touch, you could still be known as a lovable human being. Unfortunately, though, this got to Steve Urkel's head. He began making tyrant-like demands and even had his character split into two in order to take up all the camera time. Legend has it that during filming, the young child we knew as Judy once screwed up her lines, so Urkel stabbed her in the chest. But let's not remember the Dark Ages, but rather revel in the fact that he gave voice to nerds around the world. That's why you, Steve Urkel, are historically black. Did we do that? Yes, we did.
Congratulations, Steve.
Steve Urkel, congratulations. The spotlight this week. We only got one more of these to go. I hope you understand that. And then Black History Month 2016 will come to a conclusion. So
that took a dark turn.
It's his life. Look anywhere.
You watch Family Matters those later years?
Yeah, no.
It got
sick.
It got sick. It got bad. Anyhow, we'll have the last one next week, and we hope you'll be back for it. Now, you guys ready to get into this week's show?
Yes.
Let's do it. All the things that I mentioned earlier, I'm not repeating them, coming up in this episode of A Freak Accident.
Look up A Freak Accident on Instagram.
You're so beautiful.
Get an exclusive peek inside the podcast with pictures and videos of our recording sessions and general tomfoolery. Not to mention, you can see for yourself that the face for radio thing is 100% true.
Do you have any idea how completely gross that is?
Follow us at A Freak Accident.
News update.
You are here for a news update. This is quickly becoming a fan favorite segment, I notice. A lot of people like this one.
That's good.
It is good. Yeah. This is where we hit a couple of quick news stories, and we dive headfirst into things that are happening throughout the world. Some of these are weird. In fact, today, most of these are weird, but it's worth talking about. First and foremost, this story, which actually we found on our local news affiliate here, WNEP, was reporting on this one. You had a family recently watching The Walking Dead in Montana. Walking Dead, of course, came back this past weekend, mid-season premiere. You ever watch the show, Mickey?
No.
No.
She thought she was going to say something else.
Thanks for elaborating.
You know what? I don't watch the show, but I've heard nothing but good things about that first episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was a phenomenal episode. But anyway, this Montana family was watching the show Sunday evening. Police received a 911 call from a neighbor who said she heard screaming from the house and that somebody had a gun and was firing it off. I guess they just had the TV really loud. And they thought that literally, you know, people were being eaten and dying and shooting each other and just causing mass chaos and devastation next door.
The house has really good acoustics.
I guess. It must, you know.
Well, my dad bought a surround sound for the very first time. He watched Saving Private Ryan and cranked it as high as it would go. We had the cops called on us because people thought there was actual shooting.
Your father's a sick man. Oh, this is great. Let's blast Saving Private Ryan as people are dying. Ah, yes! Turn it up louder! I need to hear them die.
Mutilation on the beaches of Omaha. This is great.
Yeah, let me hear the blood drip.
Scare the hell out of the neighbors.
He did.
Testament to how realistic that show is, though, right?
Or how
you guys got the cops called on somebody.
Or how nosy the neighbor is.
Or how bad their insulation is on their house.
That could be, yeah. Ooh, good point. Yeah. Hey, I hate to break it to you, pal, but your neighbors probably hear everything. Everything.
Ooh.
Think about that.
We gon' be skipping work, 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 work. I'ma take the day off, cause I wanna spend it with you.
Man, Trey Songz just makes you want to get down, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he just did, so I'm horrified.
It's funny, his name is Trey Songz because he only ever made 3 songs that I remember.
What are you talking about? This fantastic hit called...
I already forgot it.
Skipping Work?
This is a guy by the name of Joaquin Garcia. He works for the Water Board, okay, in Spain, okay? He's a Spanish civil servant. He was recently charged for skipping work for 6 years straight.
No one noticed.
No one noticed. No one even knew he was gone.
So basically, he could have came in with 5 years and 364 days, and he would have got away with this scot-free.
I'd like to point out, at least 6 years, as many as possibly 14.
What? This guy's my hero.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He was due to collect an award for 2 decades of loyal and dedicated service.
He only worked 6 years.
He had not, in fact, showed up for at least 6 years. He's a 69-year-old engineer and began working for the local authority in the southwestern city of Cadiz in 1990, according to El Mundo. And in 1996, was posted to the Municipal Water Board. So they actually promoted him, even though he had never actually showed up.
Are there not a lot of people that work in this office?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many questions I have here. First being, how can I repeat this?
I want you to wrap your head around this. The last time he showed up at work, allegedly, Bill Clinton was president. Bill Clinton was president when he last showed up at work, and he got an award.
Do you guys ever watch Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember the episode where Kramer is on strike from the bagel place?
Yeah, yeah. This is it.
It's the same story.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. He was fined 27,000 euro, which is, I guess, the after-tax equivalent of 1 year of his annual salary.
So I would just move to America and say, screw you.
I don't know why they didn't charge him more. I mean, he missed at least six. At least six. Possibly 14.
I need their vacation plan.
I need to understand, yeah, like I said, how I can pull this off. I guess, though, much like, what's his name in Office Space, they ended up
fixing the problem.
My mouth went haywire.
Your grammar sucks so...
I'm sorry.
Wow, your mouth is the only thing.
Your grammar just sucks. That's what it just said. Your grammar sucks.
Yeah. And yeah. See, now I went to say AWOL, and I also mixed it with haywire, too. So, see, this is just, it's bad all over.
What's the perfect way to describe it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ian, just look into my eyes lovingly.
I'll never let go, Ian. I'll never let go.
Don't worry.
She is a liar. She let go.
She did let go.
She didn't just let go. She broke off his finger.
And pushed him into the freezing water. By the way, science alert. Bodies float. What's up? Why did he sink?
Also, Mythbusters did a whole thing on
that. Oh, yeah, they proved they both can fit on the door. Absolutely. Yeah.
She was just greedy and wanted to lay out.
Oh, I might get a cramp.
Stupid.
Yeah. She had a life preserver, too, yeah, didn't she? He didn't. He was hanging on to the friggin', the flotsam
door
or whatever. Yeah, and she's just up there. Hey, you know, I also need this to float on because, you know, feminism or something. I don't know.
But we didn't bring this up just to talk about an age-old movie. No, we wanted to talk about it's coming back.
We might actually get to relive that event, actually.
Oh,
we'll
great
get to see firsthand whether or not the two of them could fit on the door because Titanic 2 is preparing to launch.
Not the movie.
No, the movie.
Oh, no. The movie will come shortly after.
No,
don't
please
you worry.
That is called Titania, and it will be out in 2018. It's about when the ship went and they went under an air bubble, and they've been living under there ever since. I'm kidding, Mickey. That's not actually happening.
According to some people, though, it might be true.
The person we work with probably believes that's possible.
Mm. Oh, God, I hope not.
The government is sending them weather and food while they're trapped down there just to keep them quiet.
So did they not just think, like, Titanic 1 might have been bad luck?
Well, here's the thing. A spokesman for Australian tycoon Clive Palmer told the Belfast Telegraph recently that the project to bring an exact replica of the original ship has been pushed back from 2016 to 2018. So now it's going to launch in 2018. It is an exact replica. See, this kind of just comes off as bad juju, don't you think?
Yeah, you're pretty much saying, let's tempt fate.
Yeah, exactly. You may not believe in karma or fate or anything like that, but this seems a little ill-advised.
Didn't they update some of the building methods, though?
I mean,
and
they have
and
some
they
safety.
They added more lifeboats. I did read that.
Oh, good for them. Yeah, smart. Learn from the past mistakes, at least.
They did update some things in the last 90 years.
Yeah,
safety codes
so
are up to, you know, up to date. We should do a broadcast from the deck of this ship whenever they launch.
I'm down for it. Yeah, it's practically identical, though it will have modern evacuation procedures, satellite controls, digital navigation and radar systems, and all those things you'd expect on a 21st century ship. So, I'm not playing it again because my fingers betrayed me last time and I'm not going back here. So basically, I wonder if they still lock third glass below deck. You think that's going to happen?
Got to keep some traditions alive.
Those damn one percenters up there.
So if the four of us are on this ship, does that mean we have to learn how to play the violin so we can be the band that's playing everyone off the ship?
No, we're going to do our podcast as we go down. Please don't kill us! And then we fall in. Oh, the water's actually lukewarm. We're good.
This is one of my favorite stories ever.
This just screams America.
This man is a... Maybe Soundgarden was writing this song about this guy from the past.
Oh, it's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy. So this is an amazing story of an Army Ranger, okay, who made one of the greatest kills in history, Mickey.
Uh-huh.
Story goes something like this. From Maxim magazine. A small group of rangers were ordered to clear a building. What?
Don't even take it seriously. Yeah, yeah.
We're now going to go to the very reputable publication.
Maxim magazine.
What? Could have been worse. Could have been FHM, right?
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. As the group of rangers approached a particular building that they were asked to clear, they were unaware that roughly four hostile combatants waited inside. The rangers stacked the door, reach to breach. I don't know what that means. I guess
they're
it means
getting
that
ready
they're preparing
the door. Yeah.
To enter. As they breach and enter the building, they are met with an exchange of gunfire. Without hesitation, they return fire, killing all but one enemy combatant. Although one fighter was alive, it took a few moments for the rangers to realize the hostile was attempting to pull the pin on a live handheld grenade.
Ooh.
Being only feet away, our ranger hero. His instincts kicked in and training took over. He rushed the enemy, immediately engaging in hand-to-hand combat. As they wrestled, this ranger couldn't seem to get his knife due to all of his gear being in the way. So without hesitation, he reached for the first solid object he could get his hands on, an MRE spoon. He then took the spoon and stabbed the enemy in the neck repeatedly until he died.
That is America! Yes!
Yes!
USA! USA! USA!
You know, we always get told we're pigs, you know, we eat too much. Yeah, we just ate you to death, son.
Yeah, we just got a spoonful of freedom.
That was the best line ever.
Yeah, take that Independence Day speech.
Now, apparently we have no names or any evidence that this actually happened, but I'm going to believe it's true and tell with you if you disagree.
Alligator. 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 Can be your friend too.
Who made that song?
A bunch of kids in a school. No joke.
Terrific.
I just got that song out of my head last month. Thank you.
Guess what, Mickey?
Alligator. Alligator.
I hate you all so much.
You are so welcome. This is a great story. Authorities in Florida have arrested a man accused of throwing a live alligator through a restaurant's drive-thru window.
That's right. Get our orders right, damn it.
I asked for a Coke, not a Pepsi.
I can only hope the person inside the drive-thru window stared at the alligator and said, well, that escalated quickly.
I want to know what this guy was doing with a 3.5-foot reptile in his car to begin with. He's just driving around with it? Like, man, I'll tell you what, if anybody gets under my skin today, you're getting an alligator to the face.
Well, yeah, no, you look in your little cup holder, you got the change, you get your receipts, and you got a 3-foot alligator. Come on.
That's like a lot of space to be throwing out of a window.
That's what I'm saying. You think he had like a slingshot built? You know, like an alligator launcher?
You know, Mickey brings up a good point. How did he throw it? Because if he's in his car, you think about the dynamics of throwing a 3-foot alligator out of your car.
How did the gator not tear his throat out with its jaws?
I think we're not asking the obvious question. Why did the person at the drive-thru window open the window once you saw an alligator?
Okay, all right, you got me.
Those people are underpaid and overworked. They have a lot of problems in their lives. Maybe she just wanted to end it.
Now you got $15 an hour and an alligator.
He faces $15 an hour. Wow.
Well, that's if the whole fight for 15 works out.
Yeah.
Good luck, economy. He faces 3 charges related to the incident. Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Unlawful sale. Possession or transporting of an alligator and petty theft.
Well, he better be fighting that petty theft, because that's sure to have a heck of a sentencing.
I imagine, like I said, I want to hear another story about this guy down the line where, like, he ups his game, like I said, and he builds an alligator launcher, and he just drives down the street, and anytime somebody cuts him off in traffic, he, like, freaking uses a trebuchet to launch a 12-foot gator at somebody's car.
He's got some, like, old trailblazer. He's driving in on the road going, get some! And just tossing alligators.
He's got like a cannon that fires them out of the back of his truck or something, like right through windshields and everything.
My God. How does that happen?
I don't know. I've never been so exasperated with someone that I thought, you know what, I'm going to find the nearest animal and chuck it at you.
My favorite was his argument when he says it was a prank. It was a prank.
On who?
Apparently the prank of death.
Yeah. You could die. April Fools.
Yeah. Your daughter's dead.
Up next, the return of everyone's favorite game show, Yes or BS, right here on A Freak Accident.
Abraham Lincoln once said, whatever you are, be a good one. Maybe we should rethink this show. You're listening to A Freak Accident.
that time again for your favorite game show,
Yes or BS!
Oh, it is such an easy game. All you have to do is I'll give you a statement, and you decide yes, it's true, or no, it's total BS.
Pretty straightforward, I think.
Let's meet our contestants, which, again, are the same as every single week. I'm going to urge you to tweet us to become a contestant. That's at yesorbsaol.com.org. Huh. Tweet us today. So our contestants today, we have Mickey, our returning champion.
Yes.
Oh, did I win last time?
She's so upset by that.
How does it feel to finally win something?
I'm really disappointed.
Why did you snort at the end of that? Enough laughing on the show, okay? These were serious questions. Now to a man who has the look of a 12-year-old and the physique of a middle-aged mother, we're talking about Ian! Ian, how you doing?
I thought I was looking pretty good today, jerk.
You are. I love middle-aged mothers.
It's okay. I can control the weather now, too.
Shush. And then there was Crisco.
Yeah, not much else to say, right?
You still doing stuff?
And things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The topic is Michael Jordan, who just turned 53 this week.
Mickey already lost.
No.
I'm associating him with Daffy Duck.
He was in
what?
Space Jam. Yep. He did save the Looney Tunes.
And you know what? You guys were a guest on my show where I talk more. Okay? All right. Your prize tonight is a Michael Jordan rookie card.
Wow, that's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
From his baseball career.
Oh. Still worth a lot of money. I'm in.
No, it isn't. We found it at the bottom of our staircase.
Oh.
No, it's worth nothing. It's worth absolutely nothing. Are you guys ready to play?
Yeah!
We flipped the coin in the back, and Michael Jordan's manager/janitor took it. So, yeah. He doesn't do much anymore.
Wow, times are tough for the Jordan family.
Not for them, the managers. So we're going to start with Mickey, our returning champion.
All right, Mickey.
Okay, get ready. Nike signed him to a $90 million deal straight out of college. Is that yes or BS?
BS.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
The answer is BS! Mickey, you're doing good. His first deal with Nike only paid him $2.5 million over 5 years. $90 million is what they gave LeBron James right out of high school. God, do we all hate LeBron James. Just say that. God, is he a jerk. Okay.
He'll never get 5 championships.
And you'll never get to talk again if we keep repeating this, you know, talking when it's not your turn.
Please continue.
Okay. Okay, we'll start with Ian, because Crisco's rude. He was a business major in college, yes or BS? That is not an answer.
I'm going to say maybe.
That's not an answer.
Listen, the name of the game explains the rule.
The name of the game is yes or BS. There are two simple answers. Ian, for the love of God, give it to me.
I'm going to go yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
BS.
It was BS!
Yeah!
He majored in geography and left for the NBA after his junior year in 1984, but he took summer classes and eventually earned his degree in 1986.
Whenever you're ready to continue, I mean.
Point goes to Scottie Pippen.
Hey, wait a minute. I got that one right.
No, you didn't. You talk too much. Okay, you ready for the next one?
No.
Crisco. Well,
at least it didn't go to what's his name? Kim Jong-un's buddy.
Oh, Wing Bang
Dennis
Boom.
Rodman? Dennis Rodman. Yeah, at least it didn't go to Rodman.
They're talking about Wing Bang Boom. That is his cousin, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, Crisco.
Yo.
Unfortunately, you're going first because I had no other options. All right. He wore three.
My heart will go on.
You'll go on out of this studio if you keep this up. Oh, yes. Celine Dion in the audience today. Oh, and this show, this episode of Yes or BS is brought to you by ice. It keeps your drink cold.
And your body.
Okay. He wore, Michael Jordan wore three different numbers during his NBA career, 23, 45, and 12. Yes or BS?
BS.
Yes.
BS.
Yes! He wore 45 while he was after he came out of retirement in 1995, and he wore the number 12 for one game in 1990 after he stole his regular jersey. Someone stole his regular jersey. That's amazing. Oh, what a jerk he is. Okay, we're going on question number 4. Ian or Mickey? Why don't we go Mickey first? Mickey.
I'm so confused.
Yes or BS, Michael Jordan stole 30 bases the year he played minor league baseball for the White Sox.
Daffy Duck, what?
It's not that easy.
Yes.
Fuck it, Ash.
She said yes. Ian?
I'll say BS.
BS, come on.
The answer is yes!
What?
I haven't gotten a single question right.
And you're going to not get a single life back because I'm gonna beat you.
What's this, Pac-Man now?
I will pack you in my suitcase after I'm done.
Better have a big suitcase.
He was also caught stealing 18 times, hit 3 home runs in a we don't care about baseball stats, so because who watches baseball? Right?
Not anymore.
Nope. All right. Final question. Ian, you have no chance to win, but you'll go first. You win our consolation prize. Soup.
Hope it's good.
Nope, it's out of date.
Good luck being homeless.
Yeah, good luck, because you're about to get a punch. Square in the chest.
Bow up, son. Give me the question.
What's the question?
I'm not your son. In the big game at the end of Space Jam.
Yet.
Oh, great.
He never misses a shot. Yes or BS?
Yes, he never misses a shot.
BS.
Yes.
Yes! He never misses a shot! What a crazy, crazy movie that was. And today's winner is... I can't believe it. It's Mickey.
Why?
Please! Please tweet us at yesorbs.animalplanet.org. And please, I can't stand these people anymore.
This host sucks.
Shut up!
Do you enjoy listening to a freak accident?
Yeah, sure.
Visit our website for even more. There's stuff and things and pictures. So visit afreakaccident.com and make some more mistakes.
Hey, yeah, I want to shoot, baby.
Shoot, shoot, baby, shoot, baby.
Now, Deadpool is in theaters. We all actually saw it over the weekend, which is enough of a surprise to begin with.
I know.
But the continued surprise is that while Ian, Lazy E, and I all loved it, Mickey... And even Murderer, which is the bigger surprise, did not like the movie. So I'm like really interested in learning why you didn't like this movie, because I absolutely loved pretty much everything about it.
I think because both of us have never read the comic, we were looking at it just from a movie standpoint, and there was like anticlimactic... It just wasn't getting anywhere. When he said it was a love story, we kind of joked at the end. We're like, yeah, it was a love story. I felt like I was watching The Notebook, except comic book version.
Yeah.
Wow. Notebook, Deadpool.
Yeah. That really isn't a comparison, but I guess in terms of story beats, maybe?
Kind of.
It was a, yeah, okay.
To be fair, I've never read the comic book, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. One quick thing that Proofreader actually said about the movie, that she, mind you, is not a comic person. What she loved the most about that movie is she went into it and she goes, I didn't know anything about Deadpool, and I knew how he became Deadpool. I knew everything about him by the end. They said, she was like, it told me.
It's almost like the movie told a story.
Not every movie, especially superhero movies, sometimes just bring you right in and
gloss
just
over details. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this one didn't.
I forgot what I was going to say.
terrific. Right.
And we're back on track.
I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, I loved that they kept true to the character with the breaking the fourth wall thing and like the whole meta stuff. And I love how like he was doing it, and it wasn't just like in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know, where he turns and he has an interlude. And, you know, the people are sitting around him, but it's like, it's like classic play style where it's happening, but they can't actually hear him, quote unquote, saying it. Whereas in Deadpool, he's having these interludes and they can hear everything he's saying. To one point, even Colossus is like, I'm standing right here. And he's like, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to them.
Nope, forgot at the end.
Wow.
Wow, you're about 1,000.
Were you thinking about the Notebook so much that you started becoming the one character?
Wow.
I mean, I love that. The only complaint I would really have about it is I thought the third act fell a little flat. And you can actually read my personal thoughts on the movie. And by the way, spoilers, too. We're probably going to get into spoiler territory. But, I mean, you can read my personal thoughts at freakaccident.com. I thought the third act fell a little flat because after, like, the whole ramping up in the rest of the movie and the zaniness and the craziness, it's kind of like they went very generic action movie ending at the end there. You know, guy has to go save the girl. There's just a plain old action sequence, like a shootout. There wasn't really anything insane that happened. And it was like, okay. It's like, it wasn't bad. It was just kind of like, I've seen this in just about every other movie. You know, that Deadpool needed, really, especially coming off the heels of the rest of the movie, needed something completely out of left field.
There was one part at the end that was out of left field when Colossus was trying to tell him to not kill the bad guy.
To be the hero, and he just blows his brains out.
Yeah, and then Colossus just goes, yeah, he's like, oh, you could take once, it's one moment. That could change.
It's four or five moments. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll be on the lookout for the other four moments, pal.
So great.
I had no complaints about the movie whatsoever. I thought from the opening credits to the absolute last second where they do the thing at the end of the credits was great.
Yeah, I mean, the comedy was great. It was on point. Ryan Reynolds owned the role up and down. And you could tell that they enjoyed making this movie, everybody who was involved.
It took 10 years to make this thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. When they finally got the chance to do it, I think they went all out with it, and it kind of shows because it was spectacular. I mean, like I said, my only complaint, I don't think it harms the movie at all. I mean, you know, like I said, it's a complaint, you know, it's a problem, I think, but the rest of the movie, I mean, it's great. It's spectacular. You know, the meta nature of it, the joking, the action is super violent and awesome, so I got no complaints.
I can't get over I got carded to see the friggin' movie.
You are so young.
Yeah.
That's it. Wait, how old do you have to be to get into an R-rated movie?
17.
17? You don't even look 17.
Yeah. You.
I have never been carded for a movie ever. I went to go see Wolf on Wall Street the opening night. Nothing. And Wolf on Wall Street was way more grotesque than Deadpool.
Please tell me your wife actually made fun of you because she had to.
She was also carded.
What?
All these kids up in here getting on my lawn.
Weren't you saying that there was a really long line when you went to go see it on Saturday?
There was a really long line, and the show we wanted to go see was already sold out, so we got back in line and got ready for the next showing.
Oh, I thought he was going to see another movie, but you meant the next showing.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The one we wanted to see was at 3:30, the next one was at 10 after 4, so.
I mean, but the lines were long. I've seen a lot of people saying that. I mean, it had the biggest opening in history for an R-rated movie, so.
What, 135 mil? Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah, and that's it, because they weren't sure it was going to make money as an R-rated movie, because that's the whole thing. It's like, R-rated movie can't make money. This kind of just disproved that, but I can already see a problem coming where Fox is already saying, we're definitely going to make the next Wolverine movie R-rated, too, which Wolverine, I can kind of see the need for that to be an R-rated movie, but Ian, you had brought up even before we started the show that the problem is this is going to become the thing now. Everybody's going to want to make an R-rated superhero movie now.
And it only works for Deadpool.
Yeah.
You
can't do R-rated Spider-Man. You know, can't do, you know, R-rated Wonder Woman. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I got an idea. We're going to make Wolverine, but he's only going to be wearing a cup. This is how we're going to make it really edgy.
But how it worked was not only the character of Deadpool, but the marketing they did for it, which is specific to only Deadpool, is what made it successful.
Yeah. I mean, I loved the movie. I'm upset that Murderer didn't like it or didn't enjoy it. That kind of threw me for a loop because I would figure this would be right up his alley.
Apparently not.
Yeah, no, not really. I don't know. We've got weird tastes when it comes to watching.
Apparently. Yeah, and they're not good either.
Yeah, I was just
says
gonna say,
your opinion.
Yeah,
if weird means bad,
tell
then
me,
yes.
Tell me to do something different.
Boo.
Yeah, right. Anyway, what would we rate the movie? The four of us. I gave it out of five. I gave it a 4.5 out of five.
I gave it a straight five.
Oh wow, you went hard with it.
Straight
it.
Five.
Wow, yeah, you went hard with it.
Oh, great.
Three.
Yeah.
Three. Well, that's not terrible.
No, it
it's
wasn't
above average.
Terrible, yeah. But you know.
It wasn't all you hoped it would be.
I didn't have any expectations for it.
That movie should have been a five for you as soon as Stan Lee was in the strip club.
That was good. I gotta give it that much.
Now, moving on, something that my expectations are exceedingly high for. That is Batman versus Superman.
You're the only one.
And we got the fight. Yeah, I don't see how you're not excited for this movie.
I am.
Did you see this trailer?
Yeah, of course I saw the trailer, but Superman, Man of Steel was not very good.
You're an idiot. Turn the light off.
Wow.
So we can watch this trailer. And you can watch along, too, at freakaccident.com. We've got the trailer posted there. We're going to describe it to you here. Final trailer.
Master Wayne.
Here comes the Batwing.
Thermal imaging is showing me 2 dozen hostiles on the third floor.
Alfred's driving.
Drop you off on the second.
Batman.
I do love Jeremy Irons as Alfred, though.
See, this is great. This scene is amazing. Batman jumps through the floor, and he immediately just starts beating the living crap out of everything in sight.
Batman doesn't take crap.
No. Friggin' throwing people, flipping around, smashing people through walls, punching people, kicking people, blinking heads.
They should have put the pow and whap in there.
When you got too old to die young, not for lack of trying.
That scene alone kind of sets a precedent for this movie. The fighting is incredible.
He has the power to wipe out the entire human race.
And obviously, he's mad because Superman wrecked some buildings.
He is our enemy. We have to take it as an absolute certainty.
That was my condo, Superman.
The greatest gladiator match in the history of the world.
And so he comes around the corner in the Batmobile. And I love how he just bounces off of it.
Kind of like the deer I hit on my way over here.
Day versus night.
You're psychotic.
Syllable word for any thought too big for little minds.
Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor.
How do you guys feel about that?
I mean, I'm not sold on it yet. We'll talk about it after the trailer's over. So there's like action. They're beating the crap out of each other. Guns are going off. Superman's throwing Batman around.
A few women like you.
Oh, here's Diana Prince.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't think you've ever known a woman like me.
Yeah, Wonder Woman!
I haven't known a woman like her either.
In other words, the only reason I'll be going to go see this movie.
Of course, city's blowing up. Batman shooting at Superman from the Batplane.
Do you know the oldest lie in America? That power can be innocent.
Now this is cool. Superman throws a punch and Batman's in his power armor and he just straight up blocks it. Ooh. I mean, I think that trailer is incredible and the movie looks awesome. I mean, I'm not sold. You asked about Jesse Eisenberg. I'm not sold on him yet. I mean, I saw the picture of him bald. I think he's got the look. I haven't seen enough of him in the character, though, to really be able to make a definitive judgment on whether or not it works.
I've always thought Jesse Eisenberg, though, has been a great actor on everything he's been given. So I think he's going to do a great job.
It might be surprising, I think. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. It looks incredible. What I love is the fight at the beginning shows that they're staying more true to the Batman from the comic books and the way he would fight.
Yeah,
because he wasn't just, you know, he wasn't just a good fighter. He's the best fighter, and he's also as strong as Captain America. And I've said that before. A lot of people don't realize, and I know that they're two different. One's Marvel's, one is DC. But the point is, you know, Captain America is described as being the peak of human physical capabilities. Batman is there as well. The only difference is Captain America got there because of steroids and Vita Rays. Batman got there because he was super pissed and he trained really hard. Okay, so he's as strong as Captain America. He's also an acrobat. And he's also the world's greatest martial artist. So, I mean, I like the fact that they're doing a different fighting style for him in this movie that's ever been seen before.
He's also part-time sous chef.
Oh, yeah, and he's also extremely intelligent, too. He's smarter
than
Tony Stark.
Super loaded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Super rich, super smart, super strong. Man.
Not fair.
Yeah, there's definitely a complex building in me right now.
Imaginary.
Oh. Yeah, right. Yeah, still I'm jealous. Oh, yeah.
So shouldn't he be Superman?
He kind of is. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks spectacular. I don't know why you didn't like Man of Steel.
I think I went in with really really high expectations, and it didn't meet them, so...
I think we're finding out is Ian's not Man of Steel. He's Head of Bricks.
Either way, I'm excited for this movie, and I think it's going to defy a lot of people's expectations about it. So I'm looking forward to
Hopefully it does. Hopefully I go and I enjoy it.
Yeah, because I'm gonna stick it in your face.
Whatever.
If it is.
Why?
Up next, Marty Ray of the Marty Ray Project here on A Freak Accident.
To all my crazy friends out there listening to this podcast, this is Brett Michaels. You are listening to A Freak Accident, and if I ever give you marriage advice, do the opposite of what I say.
When we encountered this guy last week on our show, when we listened to his cover of Ice Ice Baby.
That was actually 2 weeks ago.
Yes, it was two. See, my time just disappears on me. I don't know what's going on anymore. But anyway, when we were introduced to Marty Ray, we were kind of blown away by the quality of that cover. And like we kind of dug a little bit further, and we found out he's a pretty interesting guy.
Oh, yeah. He does so much that...
It kind of pisses me off that one person is this talented and I'm sitting here like this. It's not fair.
Well, grow a beard like him and you'll be fine.
Oh, that's true.
And that's a good bit of advice. Anyway, when we found out all that he's into and all that he does, we knew that we just had to talk to him, so we decided to do just that.
All right, stop.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to A Freak Accident, Marty Ray. What's up, Marty?
What's up, y'all?
Hey, we're glad to have you here, man. How are you doing? You seem like you're a really busy dude.
Well, I'm busy, but, you know, I always use more work, you know what I mean?
I hear you. Well, I mean, we were just blown away by the Ice Ice Baby cover, and I mean, you've got a full album out now. It's called Expression Not Perfection. It came out in October of last year. It features that song. It's also got a bunch more songs on it. Can you tell us a little bit about that album?
Well, you know, it's what the title says. You know, it's expression. It's not perfection. I ain't perfect. I ain't trying to be. So, you know, it's a mix of songs that I write. I don't write any one genre. I just write a bunch of songs, and that's the products of that. You know, it's not country. It's got some country, some blues, some maybe a little bit of rock, a little bit of reggae, you know. It's a mix of a lot of different styles on there.
Well, yeah, you've even got a single out now, Set It Off, which is electronic dance, which is like, yeah, you really do hit that from all sides, don't you?
I do. I don't let nothing, you know, drown out my creativity. If I feel like writing a song and I get inspired to write it, I'm going to write it.
Now, you've been doing this, writing music, that is, since you were 12 years old. I mean, so is it safe to say that music is like your first love?
Well, I guess so. You know, God put it in me since I was born. I mean, I came out of the womb singing, you know what I mean? So I was put here to do it one way or the other, whether that's good or bad. I'm going to keep doing it.
I actually saw that over on your website. You said your mom said that you came out crying and it sounded like singing or something like that.
Yeah, she said, my mom always said when I cried as a baby, it sounded like a song. I took her word for it.
Yeah, you really took that to heart and you turned it into a whole business thing.
Your crying must have been just heavenly.
Yeah. Well, according to her, it was. Anyway, I don't know if that's true or not.
Now, as a grown,
I guess I'm still crying.
I was going to say, as a grown man, when you cry, is it half as good as that, though? I'm not sure.
Well, I try my best not to cry as a grown man, but when I do, I mean, you know, according to, I guess, if it sounded like a song then I guess every time I sing, I'm crying.
Absolutely. Now, you know what? I noticed that there was a quote going around. You had said once that you won't allow anyone to put you in a box creatively, especially a record label. So with that in mind, like, do you intend to stay independent, like, forever?
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah, I don't.
What's
I won't
the...
ever be signed with a record label. I've met with a few of them, but I won't sign with them.
What do you think gives you the advantage to staying independent over a record label? Because I noticed that a lot of musicians these days tend to be going that route.
Well, a lot of musicians are staying independent, but they're still signing record labels. But they're just signing with independent record labels. You know,
right?
But that's not me. I'm completely independent. You know what I mean? No label at all. Because the problem with the record label and even the independent labels now, they've all moved into this what's called a 360 deal. So the big record labels did it, and they said, hey, if we all do it together, then they have no bargaining chip. They can't say, well, let's go over here because it's not a 360 deal. So they all did it, and now the independent labels are starting to do it. And if you don't know what a 360 deal is, that means they get money off of 360 degrees of your career. That means off of your merch, off of your tour, off of your music, off of your publishing. And then even further than that, they get money, say, because I'm an actor as well. So when I act on TV or anywhere else, they would get the majority of that as well. So it's a ridiculous thing. And not to mention, they would also say, these are the songs you're going to write, and these are the songs you're going to sing. If they would even let me write my own songs. You know, they'd say, hey, we got a writer, sing these songs. This is what we want you to sing. We're going to call you this. We're going to call you country or blues or rock or whatever. We're going to say you're this, and that's what you're going to be. You know, that's not me. I'm not going to do that.
You mentioned acting, and there's actually an interesting story on how you got into acting. It wasn't like something you were going after. It was actually because of your brother, right?
It was. Yeah, I guess I always say, well, we're all actors. You know, we always acted to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, we always did something.
It's kind of like how I fake being a professional radio guy. Yeah.
Oh, you seem great at it. I was faking it.
Well, thanks, man.
What a guy.
So how did
but
you...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How did you get into acting, though?
So my brother, right when he graduated, he had this notion that he couldn't do... He was going to join the military, which I got nothing against the military. I love the veterans, and thank God for every one of them. But he was joining because he felt like that was the only chance he had at being anything in life, that type of deal. And I was like, man, I said, that's not true at all. I said, you know, what you dream? What did you dream of being your whole life, you know? And he said, well, it's just unrealistic. And I was like, well, tell me this unrealistic dream that you have. I'd like to hear it at this point. Because I never knew you had such a dream that was so far out of reach. And I said, what is it? I was just hoping he wouldn't say, you know, he dreamed of being the president, because I was going to be like, yeah, that's pretty unrealistic. So, but he said actor, and I was like, man, that's easy. I said, move to Memphis with me. I said, we'll find you an acting school. You know, I'll start taking you around. You'll meet some people. I said, next thing you know, you'll be acting in some local projects, and who knows how long it'll be, and you'll be in a movie or something. And so he moved down here with me, and we started going to the acting class. He didn't drive at the time, so I had to drive him to the class. And in that process, the acting coach there, you know, we became friends. And then one night he just said, you know, you want to get up here and act? And I was like, no, I'm not an actor. I'm a singer. And he said, just come up here and have fun or whatever. I said, all right. And it was fun, you know. And I guess I was pretty good at it because people seemed to like it. And the rest is history. Then I started saying, man, this is pretty cool that somebody will pay you to... Somebody will pay you to dress up and play make-believe. And I was like, this is a cool thing.
And you know what? You branched out from not just the acting thing, but you're directing now, you're screenwriting. Is there anything you can't do? Like, do you also, like, rescue stray kittens in your free time and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've been doing that since I was three.
There you go.
Wow, he actually does. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He also beat Andre the Giant back in the 1980s. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I actually body slammed him before Hogan.
There you go,
man.
So I mean, that's incredible, man. And now, like, you've got a couple of writing credits and directing credits under your belt. Got Burger, The Message, and Who's Your Bully? A couple of movies you wrote, directed, and acted in. You've also acted in a couple of TV shows, a couple movies, and you're actually going to be in a TV movie called American Anarchy. Now, can you tell us a little bit about that movie? When's it coming out? What's it about?
Well, I really don't know. You know, there's several projects that I'm supposed to be in, but. So with movies, it's you don't really say, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is coming up, so I'll be excited for this, you know, because what happens is some of these projects, they get written, but they never get greenlit. So it's like if the money never shows up, then there never will be American Anarchy or something. But if there is, then it'll be very cool. It'll be a TV show or TV series. You know, they don't really know if it's going to be a movie or if it's going to be a TV series, but if it is, that'd be cool because I'd be a recurring character. But if it ain't, then, you know, oh well, I'm on to the next thing. It's not something that I dwell on, things that aren't, you know, in stone yet. You know what I mean? But, like, I was on a TV show last season of Zoo. I don't know if you heard of that show or
not. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was on that, and, the new season got picked up, so... I'm thinking that I might be called back to be at least a guest starring character on the new season. So I'm hoping for a reoccurring role. But that's what I'm hoping for anyway. So we'll see what happens.
You know, you do so much. You're so busy. You're constantly active. You have a fantastic beard. You might be the most low-key guy, though, about all of those things I've ever met.
Well, I mean, I'm, you know, I just, I'm just thankful and grateful that people want to hear me sing, and that just thank God every day that I'm on this earth and that there's a fan base out there that cares about Marty Ray. You know what I mean? I'm grateful for that. And as well as I'm grateful for the people that are willing to pay me to say lines in a TV show or a movie or something.
Marty, I think you need to come up to Northeast PA. We need to hang out.
Well, you know, I might be there before you know it. You know?
Oh, all right.
Now, do you do any touring with, I know you have your band. You're busy with them between your acting gigs and stuff like that. So do you tour around with them at all?
Well, you know, I don't tour like a label artist would tour.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah, but because people ask me that all the time. But I'm the guy that's another reason why I wouldn't ever sign with the record label, because I'm not a young man. I'm 33 years old, and I have a wife and two beautiful daughters, so I'm not going to do 250 dates a year and get to see my family for, you know, 3 weeks to a month at a time every year. So, and that's what they all want. They want you to do all these dates, and in between the dates and the travel, you know, you really, that's why you see so much divorce in music. And that's not me, you know. I would give it all up before I did that, because I'm not going to sacrifice my family for anything. But, so what we do is, we do a lot of private shows, because people, for some strange reason, they don't, like, if they're an establishment that's just trying to get someone to come in and play, they don't believe that they owe you much money as a band unless you're with a label. So it's like, okay, well, I'll just play private shows then, because they'll pay me. You know, they'll pay us money, and we can make a living, and we can support our families this way. And so that's what we do a lot of, is private shows. And I imagine if the numbers keep growing on social media, then eventually these establishments will say, hey, we want you to come in, and we can see that you're going to draw some people in here. We'll pay you this. And they'll be right at that point, you know.
So, Marty, is it safe to say, with all of the people that you have following you on the internet, that you would maybe tie in everything that you have going on as far as writing, directing, acting, and the music, and maybe put something up on YouTube for those fans? Because I see you have a lot going on with social media.
So are you thinking like a web series kind of thing? Like you
wonder
kind if you
of,
would,
yeah. Seeing as you do everything.
You might as well write and direct a web series about the Marty Ray lifestyle, man.
Well, I've actually been contacted several times about like a reality type TV show or something by several different people. But, you know, like I said, we'll see if that stuff happens. You know, if it happens, great. You know what I mean? But it would have to be something that, I mean, I think it'd be cool. I don't know if it'd be interesting or not, you know, because I don't know if my life's an interesting life or not. I mean, I guess if you like to see people play a show every now and then and you know, play in front of a video camera, answer a bunch of comments on social media, if that's interesting, then you might like to watch a reality TV show about me. So, I don't know.
Right on.
So, you came out with your last album in October. Are you working on anything new? Can we expect something new from the Marty Ray Project in the near future?
Oh, yeah. I've got there's a new single on iTunes right now called The Ranger.
I actually listened to that. Pretty good song.
Yeah, that's on my new album coming out this year.
There you go. What's the name of the new record? What's the release date? Can you tell us anything about that?
I don't have a release date yet. I got to get all the songs cut before I start trying to make a deadline.
I got
I'm messing up. You know what I mean?
We just want to break a story, man. I'm trying to do like guerrilla journalism here, you know?
Well, I don't know. Let's say you pick a date and I'll go with that.
July 27th, it's my birthday.
I was thinking February 11th.
February 11th?
Yeah, you got it.
Don't listen to Ian. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
There you go. July 27th, though. You could release it for Lazy E's birthday. That'd be fine.
My birthday is July 14th, so we're in the same month.
Yeah, see, this is the perfect time to release it. Just release it on my birthday.
Hey, Marty, thanks so much for taking the time to join us, man. Before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find you on social media, on YouTube, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, just Marty Ray Project on Facebook and Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, you know, all those things. You know, you Google Marty Ray Project, you're going to find me. I do want to mention that I am sponsored by a company that makes beard oils, and they're called Beardalyzer. So I feel like I should mention them in any interview I do, because they take good care of me.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's awesome, because I have a beard, so I always use beard oil. I'm going to go pick that up.
Yeah, you need to contact Beardalizer.com. Tell them Mark sent you. They might hook you up. I don't know. Awesome. I ain't saying they will, but they might.
You know, he's not guaranteeing anything.
But, yeah, they're a great company. They got some good products. I never even used beard oil until I met them, so it was pretty cool stuff.
And with a dude that has a beard as immaculate as yours, you're the man to trust or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Marty Ray, the MartyRayProject.com. Thank you so much for joining the Freak Accident. We love you. We love your stuff. We can't wait to hear more from you. Marty Ray, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank y'all so much. I love y'all too, man.
Do you realize what would happen if you missed an episode of A Freak Accident? Well, probably nothing. But knowing us, you really don't want to risk finding out.
On the road to WrestleMania, we're only a couple weeks out. In fact, Fastlane is this Sunday. And actually, kind of, sort of, to a certain degree anyway, my whole Yankum's dichotomy principle, which says that every Raw after a good Raw is always a really terrible Raw, wasn't necessarily in play this week, because this wasn't a terrible Raw, at least not up until the third hour.
This is a prime example why they should turn it back to 2 hours.
Yeah, I support that. Because it was very interesting the first 2 hours, and then that third hour, man, it just tanked. And it's funny, you and I were both live tweeting it, and we both fell asleep at the same time, because you can follow on Twitter and you can see where both of us zonked out, because both tweets from both accounts just cease altogether, like about 10 minutes into that third hour.
Yeah, it's a huge gap in the timeline. It's like yeah, this is happening.
But little sidetrack from Raw, the big announcement from this week: Triple H.
Oh, yeah, the Cruiserweight World title, right?
The Cruiserweight World Series.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it, yeah.
10 weeks of 32 of the best cruiserweights around the world, not necessarily signed to the WWE. Going to be running that on the network.
So for a person like myself who doesn't really know what that means, what is that?
Okay, cruiserweights are the small guys that do really crazy stuff.
Gotcha, okay.
Okay, yeah, and they're going to find out who the best.
The lightweights, gotcha, yeah. Okay.
Best in the world. Literally the best in the world. Yeah. We're going to find that out. So that's pretty cool. And like I said, Fastlane's this Sunday. I love the fact that they gave Kevin Owens the Intercontinental title back.
Yeah.
And they did it in a way where it doesn't make Ambrose look weak. And Ambrose, I mean, now that he doesn't have that title, it seems realistic. Like, he might actually be able to win this match on Sunday.
Yeah.
Some way. And I'm wondering if that isn't their plan. Like, if they're actually going with Ambrose, or if this isn't just a misdirect. It's making everybody think that they're going to go Ambrose, and they're end up going to go with Reigns.
They're doing the smart thing, because guess what? We're talking about, there's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know?
Charlotte really came into her own as a heel, too, don't you think? Did you watch it on Monday?
I can only do one thing at a time. I watched Deadpool.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
That was, like, in 7 days? Like, you have, like, a thing, you can only do one thing in 7 days.
Yep.
Wow.
So I didn't watch it.
Huh.
What a life.
Poor murderer.
Yeah.
He didn't watch either.
But, I mean, Charlotte really came into her own as a heel, I think. People are wondering if Brie's going to get the title, the Divas title.
She's leaving in the summer.
Yeah, she announced that she's going to retire to be with Bryan. Yeah. So. So Fastlane, what do we got? There's really not much going on other than, like, you know, you got that triple threat match for the number one contendership.
You got Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
It should be really good. You got Kalisto versus Alberto Del Rio.
Two out of three falls.
That one, I think they could have fun with that.
Much like the Doc said the last time we had him on the show, though, when those guys are on, they're on. Yeah. But when they're off, it is not fun to watch, and it's not pretty either.
They really need to show up at this one.
Yeah. Yeah. You also got the Wyatt family versus the Titans of WWE.
I don't know what their definition of Titan is anymore.
Just kind of like filler, really. Yeah. It's just filler. It's like, oh, we need something for these guys to do. Quick, put them over here. Send these guys over there. That'll be fine.
The Rock at?
Yeah, that'll take up time. That'll take up time. That's good.
Oh, and then we have, what is it, Edge and Christian interviewing The New Day during the pay-per-view.
I'm sure that will be nothing short of spectacular.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah. That's a main event.
Yeah, that would be, yeah. So it's kind of like everything really starts to pick up, I hope, anyway, after Fastlane. You know, because we're kind of, Mania is just weeks away. So, you know, things got to get interesting. This has got to be the time to do it. Got to pull some triggers and make some stuff happen. You think Cena comes back and wrestles Taker?
It's starting to look like it. The more things I'm reading, the more it's looking like that might be a possibility. Which I'm not. opposed to that match.
It looks like Cena is going to be back early. That genetic freak. He heals faster than Deadpool. It's insane. Like, he's going to be out for 6 months, 2 months later. I'm coming back. Okay, well, this is
and I look better than ever.
Yeah, this is not possible. There's definitely not any kind of steroids or anything going on here.
That's how Nikki got injured. He actually took her good out of her. And it's like, ah!
Oh, he sapped her life force.
Yeah. No, my neck!
How old is The Undertaker, though?
Oh, dude, he's like 50, I think. He's got to be close to 50.
He's got to be. He's been doing this forever.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time. And he looks old, too. He is not pretty to look at.
No. So never he has fits been. His role.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
He has never been pretty to look at.
No, that's true. Yeah, even when he was younger, he was not...
I don't know, early 90s, kind of had a look to him.
Are you talking the American Badass Undertaker?
No, I'm talking about just pale white.
So
you know,
the early 90s, which would have been when I was, you know, born.
Oh, my God. Just end the show. I can't do this
I thought
anymore.
You were telling him to end. I was like, that's kind of harsh just because he's young.
That, too.
He's probably going to end later than we do. Think about that. We'll be dead before he is, more than likely.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be dead tomorrow, probably, so who knows?
Mega colon strikes again.
It's taking lives now. Jeez.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's pretty much it, right? Not a whole lot going on.
Well, no,
not
it's
not much to report on.
You can't until after the pay-per-view. I mean, that's when it's really going to pick up.
Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of the show then. By the way, thanks again for Marty Ray from the Marty Ray Project for joining us. Love that dude.
Great.
We'll have to talk to him again down the line, you know, once he becomes even more famous, which I imagine is pretty much...
Probably next week.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely going to happen. It's a question of when, not if. So thank you, Marty, for being here, and we look forward to talking to you again down the line. Mickey! Tell the listener what they need to do and where they need to go and what's up. What's the real deal?
Well, you need to go to afreakaccident.com and go to the menu bar and click connect.
Yes.
You can also go to our Facebook page. What is our Facebook page link?
Well, it's in the connect.
It's in the connect.
When you click on connect, the link is there also for Twitter and Instagram and everything else.
You can tell me to shut up at freaks@afreakaccident.com.
I'll do
that. Why would they do that? They should be telling you to talk.
I don't know.
Oh, we're supposed to do that? I'll delete that email right now. Sorry.
Yeah, those three lines of dialogue you had during that podcast. Shut up.
Yeah.
Too much.
Where else do they need to go? Twitter. I have to think to myself here.
iTunes.
iTunes and leave a review.
Yes, and subscribe too. You can get our podcast delivered to you every single week. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen this week. We'll be back again next week with another brand new episode, and I thank you again for taking the time. For A Freak Accident, my name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy.
I'm Ian Hunter.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you
that some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
Where's my talent, Marty Ray? Share some.
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over.
Son of a bitch!
But if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.